In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Archbishop Giovanni Battista Piceri, and this is what he says. He just went through the biography with, Father Calvi and Pablo Martin and Padre Bucci. And now he says this. He says, other contributions on behalf of theologians from other dioceses are able to come to me. And these are for the attention of our postulator, and they will be published if considering in keeping with the typical edition of the writings of the servant of God, Luis Picaretta, supported by a critical preparation that unites the knots of the thinking of Luisa Picaretta herself. Now, he talks about the knots. This is, in 2005, he says, there are some knots that have to be untied. He says, it's not negative. He says, it's complicated. And really, there are certain parts that he says the church is going to untie to make it simplified so that people can understand the writings of Luisa even more. There are a few things that, the church wants to expound on. And so he says he calls it knots. And I thought it was kind of funny because later on when Pope Francis came in, he had Our Lady, the entire of knots. That was the first thing he said. I thought it was very interesting that these writings are not heresy. That's very, very clear. As a matter of fact, the Archbishop wrote a letter, one of his last letters, and I think it really broke his heart. This is one of the reasons it was his last letters. There were some people who were saying that Luisa had heresies, and he said, there's no heresies. We've gone through this thoroughly. Our theologians have studied it thoroughly, and he said very clearly that stop talking about heresies. He says, that's not true. He says, all it's doing is slowing down the cause, hurting the cause. And that, so his final letter to everyone was, love Luisa, understand Luisa. Yeah, there are some difficulties, but they're not heresies. He made that very, very clear. So he says, this pronouncement of mine is for the greater glory of God, so that the holiness of the church shines through the good works of the children of God. Amen. So that's how he ended his talk. And here's his homily. And it's, he was very good. He was very precise. And when you listen to the Dawn of a Mystery, when you watch the Dawn of a Mystery and listen to the Archbishop, he was put in this place, so perfectly as Archbishop, going through the cause of Luisa, presenting it in a positive way at the end in 2005. It was October 29th, 2005. So the letter to the Hebrews speaks to us of Jesus, the only mediator of a new covenant. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. And this is, again, what we received basically in 2005 was the translations, the first time of basically volume 20 through volume 36, got all the translations. And volume 20 through volume 36 basically tells about the divine, receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. And he says, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So here in Hebrews 9:15, he talks about Jesus as the mediator of the new covenant. Only Jesus Christ conquered death and gave us his divine life, which is eternal. He, as God, became like us to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Again, Hebrews 9:26. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Again, that's Hebrews 9:28. So Jesus says, I'm returning basically for all those who eagerly await me, eagerly wait for Jesus. And as if you really are looking at the time that we're living in, everything points to this. Everything points to this. And I talked to one person, one priest the other day, and he says, oh, nothing's going to happen for 1,000 years. He says, we're going to live like this for another 1,000 years. And I went, have you listened to anything? Have you followed anything? Do you know the situation we're in now? And you, and it was almost as if he was woke. He wasn't awake. And that's the sad part. Jesus is trying to get us ready for this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied. Remember, for 27 years, he says, get ready for the third millennium, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. So he says very, very clearly, this is what's happening. So unlike priests of the old covenant, Jesus is both priest and victim. In his passion, he, as pure from every stain of sin, gave himself to the Father for sinners. By means of his death and resurrection, he accomplished his priestly function. At the ascension, he didn't enter into the temple built by human hands. He entered into heaven, where he remains a lamb standing before the Father to make intercession for us. Revelations 5, verse 6. So here the Archbishop is setting this up, trying to help us understand the time that we're living in. Sin is now deprived of its strength, and in a new way, to return to the Father is open to everyone. So with this redemption that Jesus went through 2,000 years ago, everything is ready. And Jesus tells Louisa, this last 2,000 years was God resting in the delight, if you want to say, of redeeming humanity. So the Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as the one before whom we must take a stand. Either we join ourselves to him, our only Savior, or we compare ourselves to him in the exercises of our freedom that rejects him. Most of humanity mocks Jesus Christ. The word that the blasphemy is always in, you know, blaspheming the name of Jesus. Our job is to repair and redo. Our job is to get everyone ready for what God is going to bring about. That's why Jesus taught Louisa this whole repairing and redoing in the divine will is our job. And the Archbishop makes this very clear. He says, salvation is a gift, but it can be given only to those who have the desire to be saved. The servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, had the desire to be saved. And for this, she fully adhered to the will of Jesus, obedient servant to the Father, even unto death, even death of the cross. In the hours of the Passion, Louisa comments on the agony of Gethsemane in the following way. O Jesus, all the rebellions of creatures advance toward you. You see that fiat voluntas tua, that your will be done, which was to be the life of each creature, being rejected by almost all of them. And instead of finding life, they find death. The biggest, the fastest growing religion, if you want to say, is Satanism in the United States. And it's all over the world. The evil one is trying to make sure that no one will have life. And that's what's happening. And wanting to give life to all, and made a solemn reparation to the Father for the rebellions of creatures, as many as three times, you, Jesus, said, repeated, Father, if it possible, let this chalice pass from me, that souls withdrawing from our most holy divine will become lost. So the sorrow that Jesus was going through, he said to Louisa, he says, it wasn't that I was afraid to die. He came to die. He came to take our place. He came to shed every drop of his blood so that we would be redeemed. But when he saw the chalice filled, it was filled with the souls who would reject the crucifixion, who would reject Jesus and be eternally lost. And he said three times, let this chalice pass from me, that souls withdrawing from our holy divine will become lost. This chalice is very bitter for me. However, not my will, but your will be done. Saying to the Father, total surrender, total docility, total submission. The Lord knew, the Lord wanted to die. When you watch the Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, Jesus embraces the cross. He got that from Louisa. Louisa saw Jesus run to the cross and embrace it and kiss the cross. This is something that most people are afraid of the cross. They look at the cross, they look at Christ crucified, and they say, I don't want this. They look at Christ crucified, and I had somebody come into my chapel, and I have a life-size statue of Jesus crucified, and that person was a Catholic and said, get that out of here. And I went, what are you talking about? She said, Jesus has died once for all. You don't have to keep on crucifying him. And I'm going, and I said to her, are you Catholic? You know what I mean? Where are you coming up with this? You know, it was almost as if she, it repulsed her to see Christ crucified. Christ crucified is the glory of God. Christ crucified is the triumph of God. Christ crucified is the strength of God, the power of God. In the old movies, they would hold up a crucifix to get rid of the devil, get rid of the Dracula. The truth was there. The crucifix is everything for us. And here, most people don't understand Christ crucified. And most people complain about God because they don't meditate on Christ crucified. They complain about what they have to go through because they don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Everything that Jesus shows us, he died on the cross for us. He conquered death on the cross. His throne is the cross. He was crowned with thorns. This is his crown of glory. People don't understand that. We have to begin to fall in love with God. The only way to fall in love with God is by falling in love with God, spending time with him, meditating on Christ crucified, you know, looking at Jesus in the monstrance and falling in love with God. This is what Louisa did. Louisa did as a little girl. She spent time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And when you go to the church, when you get to Our Lady of the Greca Church in Corrado, to right in front of her tomb is to the left of the tomb on the ground before the step is a square place where it's marked. But that's where Father Bucci says this is where she always knelt. His family taught him when she was a little girl. This is where he knelt. This is where she knelt. This is where she prayed in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So Jesus bound the human will with the divine will, making his own person the bridge, a bond of harmony. And this is precisely the starting point of our new life. Now here, the Archbishop Pieteri is saying, he's getting us ready to understand that there is this new and divine way of holiness. It is precisely the starting point. Jesus is, living in the divine will. The point of our new life, to be in Christ, with Christ, through Christ. Another excerpt from the Hours of the Passion. Jesus tells Louisa, my daughter, do you want to know what is the torments, that the torments mean more than the very executioners? Rather, those were nothing compared to this. This is the eternal love, which wanting primacy in everything is making me suffer. All at once, and in the most intimate parts, what the executioners will make me suffer. Little by little, it was all coming at Jesus at the 24 hours of the Passion, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was bleeding from his whole body was bleeding, everything was coming at him. And he says, it was love that brought me to suffer. Love for who? For us. God wanted us to be, saved. He wanted us to be redeemed. And the whole reason for this, Jesus tells Louisa, is so that we can be sanctified. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly. That's where the saints have been for the last 2,000 years. Now Jesus says, I want you to begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit and to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. So he says, ah, daughter, it is love that which prevails in everything over me and within me. Love is nail for me. Love is scourge for me. Love is crown of thorns for me. Love is everything for me. Love is my perennial passion, while that of men is in time. Ah, my daughter, everything enters into my heart, comes to be dissolved in my love. And only in my love will you comprehend how much I suffered and how much I loved you. And you will learn to love me and to suffer only out of love. So here Jesus says, we're going to learn how to love Jesus. One of the things that in school, when students have trouble learning, it's because they haven't learned how to learn. They haven't. Once they learn how to learn, things become easy. Once you learn how to learn, and this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, and you will learn to love me, and you will learn to suffer only out of love. So the crucifixion of Jesus shows us very, very clearly that the agony in the garden that he went through was everything coming at him at once. And he suffered every sin. Every sin is a death, to the love of God. And this is what Jesus went through for us. So the Father, the Archbishop says, Luisa lived immersed in the love of Jesus and learned to love God and her neighbor, declaring herself, as our Lord named her, the little daughter of the divine will. She took that title, and she would say, this is what Jesus calls me, the little daughter of the divine will. And even on her tombstone, it says, Luisa Picaretta, little daughter of the divine will. This is one of the many of the 2,200 titles that Jesus gave to Luisa. And when you go through those titles, and you can find them on luisapicaretta.me, as you go through those titles, you begin to understand that this is no ordinary person. What Jesus says to her, you've never heard Jesus say to the saints. You know, he, for example, what Luisa possessed, why we love Luisa is because Luisa possessed the true life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. When St. Teresa would wash the dishes, the Heavenly Father would look down and say, ah, there's little Teresa washing the dishes. When Luisa would say, for example, wash the dishes in the divine will, the Father would look down and say, ah, my son is washing the dishes. That oneness with Jesus, like he said right from here, we have to start from this, precisely from the starting point of our new life, to be in Jesus, with Jesus, for Jesus. It's a new life. And when the saints would do something, they did something in a saintly, holy way. When Luisa did something, it was Jesus blinking in her blinking, Jesus speaking in her speaking, Jesus, you know, washing in her washing, you know, whatever she was doing, it was Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This was the life that the Father saw, precisely what Jesus says the Father wanted with Adam. This new and divine way of holiness is not new at all. It's what Adam had before the fall, but even more than what Adam had. Because now what Luisa possesses is the true life of the new Adam, of the new Eve. And when she said to Jesus, she said, if Adam received everything, right? He received this divine life. And Jesus said, yes, he did. And he failed. And Jesus said, yes, he did. And she said, well, how can I not fail? If Adam failed, how you keep on saying to me, I'm not going to fail. How can I not fail? And then Jesus says, because you have something that Adam didn't have. Adam didn't have me as his Adam. He didn't have my mother as his Eve. You have me as your Adam. You have Mary as your Eve, the new Adam and the new Eve. And then he says, you cannot fail. As a matter of fact, on April 1st, Jesus said to Luisa, He's going to anoint us with invincible strength. What is this anointing? He says, I, God, have passed the test for you. He says, Adam couldn't pass it. So I, as the new Adam, Mary, as the new Eve, passed this test. And he says that this anointing, this is what is going to come with the oil of Louisa. This anointing with a priest, by the priest, is going to give you invincible strength to live in the divine will and not to do your human will ever again. Now, it's going to take time. It's not instantaneous. He says, I want you to begin to be anointed with this invincible strength. And as you learn this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, you turn your life more and more over to the Father and the Holy Spirit through Jesus and Mary. And what happens at that point, it's a new beginning for all of humanity. Now, we are in the final battle. And that's why everything is falling apart, Jesus says. Everything is falling apart. And he wants us to become aware that he has done this for us. He has passed the test for us. And the only thing he asks, the only test he says that you have to pass is not doing your human will. So what is your human will? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, doubting, sin. And Louisa learned this 70 years of study, 70 years of going over this and living this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. Finally, Jesus said to Louisa, you have, everything's been repaired. We are called by Jesus to repair and redo in the name of everyone, everything, past, present, and future. To repair and redo. That's our life. When we pray at Holy Mass, we pray that everyone will turn to Jesus. We pray in the name of everyone and everything that the kingdom be established on earth as it is in heaven. As we begin to learn how to do this, and it takes time because we're filled with doubts, we're filled with worry, we're filled with anxiety, we're filled with complaints, we're filled with negativity. And Jesus says, that's not me. He says, where I am, if you have joy, I am there. If you have peace, I am there. If you are happy, I am there, Jesus says. But if you're not filled with peace, joy, and happiness, I'm not there. So how can you be saying you're living in the divine will when you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? This has to stop, Jesus says, and that's what he says. You will learn to love me, and you will learn to suffer only out of love. So all of us are suffering. We physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of us are suffering. And our Lord is saying, what are you doing with your suffering? Are you embracing your suffering as Jesus embraced his cross? Are you complaining, negative, doubting? Are you living your life in silence like Our Lady, meditating? What she treasured all these things in her heart. When you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus is really expecting us to treasure all these things like Our Lady did, to meditate on these. So as you read every day, you begin to enter into this true life of Our Lady, the silent life of Our Lady, the silent life of Jesus for 30 years before he went out for those 3 years. It's we begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. So he says, Louisa lived immersed in the love of Jesus, and Louisa learned to love God and her neighbor, declaring herself, as our Lord named her, the little daughter of the divine will. And then the Archbishop says, dearly beloved, this really, it's really a gift to know and to love Jesus as the servant of God, Louisa Percaretta, did. So what we're doing is we're putting down our understandings, our limited understandings, to begin to follow Louisa. So when I hear people say, oh, Louisa's always complaining, always negative, always complaining. No, there's no negativity there. She can't live without Jesus Christ. She says, basically, when she doesn't see Jesus, she says she's not alive. I can't breathe. I can't. My heart doesn't beat without you, Jesus. Who longs for Jesus like that? Who longs for Jesus like that? That's why the Archbishop said very, very clearly, this is really a gift to know and to love Jesus as Louisa did. When Jesus looks at us, he wants to see Louisa. He wants to see the love of Louisa, the desire of Louisa, the wanting to be with Jesus, wanting to hear Jesus, wanting to see Jesus. And if he doesn't see that life of Louisa in us, he's not there. She's the one who had this gift. It's through her, Jesus says, that all of humanity will follow. He said a number of times, Louisa, the destiny of the world is found in you, Louisa. What is that destiny? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Found where? Only in Louisa. And our God is asking us, where is your focus? Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you putting this into practice? What are you studying? Where is Louisa? See, God wants to see, are you truly a daughter, a son of Louisa Picaretta, little mama Louisa, as Jesus says? If you are, then there should be something that resembles you to look, to sound, to like Louisa. And what it is the bishop says it right here. He says, this gift, dearly beloved, this is really a gift to know and to love Jesus like Louisa did. And if you can let go of your own understandings and begin to listen to Louisa, when we read, when Jesus says, Louisa, I want to hear you say dot, 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 dot. Do we repeat that to Jesus? I want you to hear me say what you said to Louisa. Louisa repeated it. I want to repeat this. This is what the Archbishop is saying. If we do not respond to Jesus speaking to us as he spoke to Louisa, what she put down on paper, how can we ever begin to think that we possess this gift? God's got to see Louisa in us. So he says very clearly, let us imitate her harmonizing of our day in this way. So here, this harmonization is an echo of heaven, to harmonize. Louisa would talk about heaven and the beautiful harmony of not only the sound, but the colors and the smell, the everything harmonizes in heaven. And she says, so you have to do it in this way. Today, in your divine will, come, Jesus, to love me, love in me the people I meet. Come, Lord Jesus, to love me and to walk in my steps. Come, Lord Jesus, to love in me and to look with my eyes, to gaze in my gazing. Come, Lord Jesus, to love in me and work in my hands. Come, Lord Jesus, to love in me by talking in my words, etc. Everything that we think, say, and do, that's what Louisa did. So here the Archbishop is saying, he says, my dearly beloved, this gift is to know and to love Jesus the way Louisa did. So he quotes Louisa. Today, Jesus, come to love me in the people I meet, to walk in my steps, to look in my eyes, to work in my hands, to talk in my words. That's what Louisa would say. And we echo this. We live this. Like I would say, this is something that you can write out, tape to your mirror in the bathroom. You know, when you end up in the morning, when you're brushing your teeth, look into that mirror and say, Jesus, come to me and love in me the people I meet, the walk in my steps, the look in my eyes, gaze in my eyes, listen in my listening, speak in my speaking, talk in my words. Jesus made this possible by giving us his divine life. Amen. This is so powerful that This is what the parents are teaching their children. The parents are teaching their children how to pray these prayers, especially the little ones. You get them to, you teach them this, they might forget, but it's in them. It's there. And God will remind them. So I believe in what I am doing. These are the words said by Archbishop Giovanni Battista when he put the seal on the boxes. I was right there. I saw this. I was, as a matter of fact, in this picture here. I'm directly behind the Archbishop when that was happening. He put the seal on the boxes containing the documents of the diocesan process of the beatification of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. And he knows, because Jesus says this in volume 13, Luisa will be beatified. He knows this. It's going to happen. And we just have to wait and patiently endure, because it's going to happen. So to him, we owe the closing of the diocesan inquiry on Luisa herself on October 29th, 2005 at the Mother Church in Corrado. That was an amazing time. It was an amazing time. The to be there at the opening and 11 years earlier, to be there at the closing, to be there see now the body of Luisa was moved from the side of the church to the front of the church. Everything's ready. And everyone, this is one of the things in the new era, everyone will go to Corrado. Why? Because what Jesus has given to Luisa, he wants to give to the whole world. The life that Jesus and Mary breathed into Luisa. As a matter of fact, today we begin the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. Today, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. But also, it's the beginning of a new era. As we go through these 30 days consecrate ourselves to the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. If you've done the St. Louis de Montfort consecration, that's wonderful. Louis de Montfort was just the other day, his feast day. But when you pray now, it's like the next step of getting closer to Our Lady. Because Our Lady teaches us, as she taught Luisa, how to live in the divine will. So in the following years, his favorite motto was "On earth as it is in heaven, together with a yearning for the Fia Voluntas Tua in the Church of God and in the world. We are certain that in heaven, living in the divine will, he will obtain what he on earth desired. Certainly he will continue to bless the association together with all the sons and daughters of the divine will in the world. And they, for their part, will not fail to praise God for the benefits received from him." That was Sister Assunta. At his funeral. And now we have Archbishop Giuliano Descenzo. Now think about this. His name is Descenzo, Ascension. Okay. Father, Piccheri was Giovanni Battista, John the Baptist. So you go from John the Baptist with him to the Ascension of, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan and to the Ascension. With this Archbishop, everything is planned. I mean, this is, who would have thought you would have those two names for the archbishops? So on the Feast of St. Charles Borromeo, the patron saint of seminarians, Pope Francis appointed Leonardo Descenzo as Archbishop of Trani, Barletta, Bascalia, of Nazareth. Now, think about that. When the Muslims came in and took over Israel, they divided everything up to have even though the land was confiscated, that the continuation of Bethlehem and Jerusalem, everything was moved. Okay, even the body of Saint Nicholas was moved because they were going to destroy it. And where did it go? Went to Bari. So the East and the West has a lot to do with this diocese. And it is also still to this day of Nazareth. It's the titulary, I can't think of the name, but it's the It's honored as the one that took care of Nazareth. And then what does Jesus say to Louisa? He says, as a virgin came from Nazareth to bring about redemption, a virgin comes from Corrado Trani to bring about sanctification. This is all planned by God. And it's so magnificent. It's so magnificent. He was formerly the rector of the Pontifical College in Italy. And this is an excerpt of the greeting of the newly ordained archbishop at the celebration of his ordination. The harvest is plentiful. Now, this is something, again, out of all things to say, St. Honorable de Francia, the Roga, the harvest is plentiful. Here's the archbishop who's saying the same words. He had, I think he studied mystical theology. I think he's got a doctorate in mystical theology. So he's perfect for understanding Louisa. He says, this is the expression that I chose as my motto. The harvest is plenty. After the announcement of my appointment as Archbishop of Trani, Beretta Biscaglia, it is the expression that more than any other reoccurs in the pastoral work for vocations. Again, John Paul II made St. Honorable de Francia the one you go to for vocations. If you need vocations to the priesthood, go to St. Honorable de Francia. He was placed the head of vocations by Pope St. John Paul II. The area that characterized in particular my priestly ministry. So he taught at the seminary. So it is the expression that marked my whole story. What has been gifted to the servant of God will bear the fruit of her side fiat with our own side fiat to substitute thoroughly and unconditionally to the judgment of the church concerning her writings. Louisa's fiat will bear fruit. The fiat will unite us, and also in a universal way, he says. He says, regarding the servant of God, March 4th, 2020, I think I met him before that. I think I met him in it was either 2018. I think it was 2018. Yeah. In continuing the care of my predecessors have shown for the reputation and the spirituality of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, and my own, and making my own what they have written to all the faithful involved, I would like to propose a few indications and perspectives. Thanks to the activity of the association, the Louisa Picaretta, Little Children of the Divine Will of Corrado, I have been able to learn about the surprising diffusions of the writings of the servant of God in many parts of the world, about the visits made by the faithful to the places relevant to her life, and about the solid network of groups present in various countries. I am absolutely amazed by the fervor of this extensive community. I encourage everyone to continue along this rich and fruitful path toward holiness. The text, Louisa's writings, came forth from and have been watched over in the bosom of the ecclesial communion. One thinks of the solitude shown for her writings by the confessors officially appointed by the archbishop, by St. Animal de Maria de Francia, who in his role as an ecclesiastical censor of the archdiocese was able to review several notebooks of her diary and publish the Hours of the Passion, and by Louisa herself, who did not hesitate to submit herself fully and unconditionally to the obedience through her life to the judgment of the church regarding her writings. So this is one thing that's so important when her spiritual director, when he was reviewing the Hours of the Passion, crossed out pages and said, I don't believe this. And he write, this is what she meant. And he crossed out pages and this is what she meant. When the Vatican looked at that, they said, this is heresy. what you crossed out and what you put down is heresy. And these books are condemned. There's only two of them. When Louisa heard this, she says, I condemn them too, because these are not the words of Jesus. So when this was all figured out by at that time, Cardinal Ratzinger. It was Jose Luis Acuna who went and explained this to the Archbishop, excuse me, the Cardinal. When the Cardinal went over it, he wrote a letter to the Archbishop of Mexico City and said to the Archbishop, Luisa's writings were never condemned. It was her spiritual director's writings that were condemned. And it was a mistake. It was corrected. This is something that some people say, well, she was on the index. Well, the index was dissolved. And I think it was 1966. It was dissolved by Saint Paul VI. So what's really good is God opened the door, because there were some people that did not want Luisa to be known. And the best place to put him without, because they couldn't destroy the books, Jesus says they would never be destroyed, was in the secret archives of the Vatican. Excuse me. The secret archives doesn't mean secret like we, it means the private books of the Pope. So that's why Cardinal Ratzinger was there when we met him. He was in charge of protecting these treasures. So this is what Jesus says. Let's see. Okay. We read that. Okay. Okay. I encourage everyone to continue this rich and fruitful path toward holiness. These texts, the writings of Luisa, came forth from having been watcher of the bosom of the ecclesiastical church. Okay. The hours of the passion. We read that. I recognize that many groups of the divine will have long traveled a path under the guidance of the Holy Church. Many have striven to anchor the readings of these writings in the doctrine of the church in a dignified conduct of life, making a balanced and respectful missionary proclamation spring from the doctrine of the divine will, a proclamation which has been harmoniously inserted into the pastoral activity of the local churches. I urge everyone to continue with renewed commitment. Every bishop, every archbishop had a love for Luisa. It's just really astonishing. I urge everyone to continue with renewed commitment so that the charismatic gifts in the church enable the faithful to respond to the gift of salvation in complete freedom and in a way suited to the times. In this way, they themselves become a gift of love for others and authentic witness to the gospel before all mankind. I hope this appeal will encounter hearts that are open to the awareness, if truly accepted. The gift opens us to the desire, listen to this, to share a communal journey, which is not without difficulties. However, it is precisely in this sharing that we will be given renewed courage and perseverance. Accompanying in your prayers, I bless you and greet everyone, Archbishop DeCenzo. So here we have, we've gone through, you know, the bishops, the archbishops, to the present archbishop, and everyone knows there is something special. There's something special about Luisa. Everyone experiences this I love you that people are experiencing when they read the writings. When you read the writings, the clue that God is asking us to embrace is to read it the way Luisa read it, longing to hear Jesus, longing to see Jesus, longing to be faithful to Jesus, longing to be faithful to the church, longing to learn every aspect. And that's why she would constantly say to Jesus, you know, but what about this? It's our questions that were given to her. What about this way? What about that way? And Jesus is going to answer her to answer us. That's why this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, as Jesus says, is a gift. And he says it's for everyone, but in reality, it's for only those that want it. So this battle that we're in, this final battle that we're going through, God wins, the devil loses. The 6,000 years of being run by the evil one, even though we've been redeemed 2,000 years ago, is going to be, he's going to be gone. He's going to be banished from the earth. banished from our solar system, banished from the universe. He's going to hell. He's not going to be bothering us. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the evil one is gone? The joy that the children of God are going to have bubbling within them, bubbling. I mean, it's like rivers of flowing water, as scripture says. It's going to be so amazing to begin to live the life that Adam lost, to live the true life of the new Adam Jesus and the new Eve Mary, to not just have a virtue or two like the saints had of Jesus and Mary, but as what on the sixth day of this Virgin Mary in the kingdom, to receive the divine qualities as much as you want or as little as you want, as much as a person can contain. That's what Our Lady teaches Louisa. To receive the divine qualities of God, to be in God's image and likeness is what God has planned. And we are the ones that he is predestined to live at this time to receive this gift. So now a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that through the anointing that Jesus promises on April 1st, that we receive this invincible strength to live in the divine will and to never do our human will. We pray that this becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.